prison concept. And this affects you directly, as it affects me, and it affects everyone directly. Luke 16:16. We all there? This is the Lord speaking. He says that the law and the prophets were proclaimed until John. And since that time, the good news of the kingdom of God is being preached, and everyone is forcing his way into it. I dare say that's not true today. Hear me. I'm saying that it is not true today. People are not coming into the kingdom. Is it because we're not preaching the right gospel? Are we not living as citizens of the kingdom? Are we not being taught that we're citizens of the kingdom? Or is it it's not that important to us? I dare say it's all of them and much, much more. Citizenship. What is your take on citizenship? Is your citizenship based on what you can get from your government? Is your citizenship based on unaccountability to your government, which is called rebellion? Is your citizenship based on knowing that everything is taken care of and it is an honor and a privilege to be part of a country that you are a citizen of? And I dare say that the numbers I've been looking at proves that this generation, your generation, could care less about being a citizen of the United States, let alone a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. Citizenship is the highest gift that God can give to us. And we value it the least. Salvation. We treat our salvation like it was owed to us, instead of understanding that what is owed to us is punishment for our rebellious nature. And that's the truth. We deserve to get our butt spanked, and we deserve it all the more. But because God has chosen us from the foundations of the world that we should be His prized people, He has made a way that for us to be citizens of His kingdom should be our first priority to anything. And our first priority is to ourselves, not to the King and His kingdom. Is that not true? You just look at your lives. Look at my life. And believe me, I've gotten beat up before you guys. It is an asset that God wants to give to us and understand its fullest benefits to it. What we do is we treat citizenship as a membership. And this membership is a choose to be or not to be. It is like, I pay my tithes because that's my dues. Citizenship is not that. Membership is where you find it in unions, religious organizations, and clubs. And don't we treat the Church of Jesus Christ like it is a club, a union, or something other than what it really is supposed to be, the family of God? You see, there being a citizen are rights and privileges that the King gives to us. We don't take them lightly, although we do anyway. And being a citizen of heaven is our first priority above all other things. But yet we choose to be a citizen of the United States, and even that we don't cherish because it's what we can get from, not what we can do. John F. Kennedy said, "Ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country." Jesus Christ is saying the same thing. He says, ask not what I can provide for you. Ask what you can do for the kingdom. And yet, we're asking Jimmy prayers. My name is Jimmy, gimme, gimme, gimme. We're not asking the Lord what it is that we can do. And what I hope to do today is show you how important citizenship is. You are an elite group, members of an immense body, not membership of a large body. Citizens of a country have to realize how precious it is to be a citizen. And the reason why you guys don't really see this as being precious is you've never been out of the country. Go out of the country and conduct yourselves the way you conduct yourselves in this country. And you will find that they will not tolerate your behavior. They will throw you in jail. Believe me. I was almost part of that. And you will realize that stating, I am a citizen of the United States in a foreign land, doesn't cut any mustard. And what you're saying, in a sense, is, I'm a Christian in this country, and it's not cutting any mustard because you don't take your privileges and rights seriously enough to warrant who you are, who I am. Let's give you some examples. Everybody knows about the situation of our illegal aliens, right? Why is it that people want to come to this country from foreign lands? And it's not just to get a job. It is for the endeavor of a hope to become a citizen of this great nation. This is the greatest nation that ever existed. And God has blessed this nation tremendously. But because of our corrupt behavior, and I'm talking about the Church of Jesus Christ, because of our corrupt behavior, we cannot tell who the citizens of heaven are from the citizens of this country. I don't get an amen out of that, so that must be true. You can't tell the saints from the ain'ts. Who's the citizens of the kingdom of heaven and who's the citizens of this world? What are some of the things that illegals do? Or those who have come into this country legally? The first thing that they do is they go and look for work. Right? They don't care what job it is that they're doing. They need work. Because what they're earning here is far greater than what they've had back home. Why is there so much inactivity in the kingdom of God? Because we carry in from the world the mindset that it's owed to me. When the only thing owed to you is your destruction. Jesus Christ paid a heavy price for you and for me to qualify us as citizens of His kingdom. And we become so distracted by the stuff of the world that we either forget who we are or we don't care to know who we are. Citizenry. What else do they do, these aliens? Because you are aliens, whether you understand this or not. You are aliens and foreigners to this world. When you received Jesus Christ, you instantaneously became an alien. That's the truth. This is what the Bible tells us. What else do they do? Well, I know from experience, because my in-laws, Irene is first generation of foreigners coming into this land, the next thing that they do is they send money back home. Because they know back home it's far worse living conditions than it is here. The people of God have not even understood that when we tithe into the storehouse, we are preparing something for those who have less than what we have. That's the truth. And we miss what is our responsibility. We want our privileges and perks, but we don't want the responsibility. That's for pastor. That's for the elders. That's for the deacons to do. I can live my life the way I want. Absolutely true. And are you happy with what you got? Don't give your tithe. I don't care. When you're in trouble, don't go to the King of Kings and say, Lord, I need this, I need that, I want this. Why? Because you're using the wrong key to get something from a king who doesn't know you. You've got a key in your hand, you don't know what door it goes to. And I beg to say that God doesn't care. Because you don't care enough about what he wants. You know the story where Jesus said to the guy, says, you know, Lord, Lord, I cast out demons in your name. I healed the sick in your name. I did this in your name. And what did Jesus say? I never knew you. You see, every government knows who their citizens are. Are you a citizen of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords' kingdom? That's the question today. Do we prize this? Do we prize, really, what the Lord has provided for us? I believe that the apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists have fallen short of teaching God's people in this day their responsibility for the preparation of the second coming of Jesus Christ. I believe that with all my heart. Why? Since 9/11, the average has been documented at 40% of believers and make-believers have attended church since 9/11. This generation, which is the Joshua generation, your generation too, is less than 20% attendance. Because they don't know nor understand the importance of being born again and being a citizen of heaven. And they don't care. Do you? Do you, Rach? Do you really care? It's okay. You won't hurt my feelings. Tell me. Do you really care about being a citizen of the King? I beg to differ. And we could talk about it later. But the fact that it is true, 17% of their generation is in church every Sunday. And of that 17%, 9% is committed. 9% is committed to the kingdom of heaven. 9%. Sad. And it's because we have not done the job of showing forth the importance of why we need to be citizens. What is another thing that happens with illegals or foreigners who come into this land? They learn the language. They learn the language. Why? Because they want to assimilate as much as possible, that when they become citizens, they have assimilated into the culture. Today's aliens could care less. Why should they care when the citizens of that country doesn't care? Jesus Christ came here to establish a beachfront, a government, an ecclesia, a church. It is the responsibility of the citizens to be taught how to speak the language. The language that we have is the language of love. We're not learning the language of love. We're learning the language of lust. Selfishness and self-centeredness. And that's what the world teaches. We're to be trained in the knowledge of the laws of the country that we're to represent. We don't even care about the laws of the country that we live in. We definitely don't care about the laws that we're supposed to keep in the country that we represent, or the government we represent. It's the truth. Citizenry. We're to learn the customs and the history of the nation that we're at so that we can be able to assimilate and relate to those people in that country somewhat. And we don't even know why we attend Bible study or what the purpose of Bible study is really about, because we've got a different agenda. You see, the Church of Jesus Christ is to be raising up Jesus' people to be a light unto the world, to draw people out of that situation into a love relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, because His kingdom, everything about His kingdom is love. And this love is far greater than the love that we could ever ask or imagine. His love is unconditional. His love is for everlasting to everlasting. We equate love to the brief infatuations of youth, and that youth can be anywhere from these guys' age to my age, looking to see what I can get out of it, not what I can serve in it. Citizenry. Let me read you a couple of scriptures. Colossians 1, 12 through 14 says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of His Son, whom He loves, in whom we have redemption for the forgiveness of sins. He chose us. We didn't choose Him. Ephesians 2, 18 and 19. Through Him we have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners or aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of His household. It's not what you have done. It's what He has done. He has provided us with a tremendous honor and privilege to become His family. And in becoming His family, we become part of His citizenry. And what we do is we spit in His face and conduct ourselves contrary to the people that we are. We live less than what we're supposed to live, and we try to take more than what is ours. And we wonder why nothing works in the kingdom. Amen? Jesus finished the work on the cross so that we could become citizens of His kingdom. Religion only postpones our ability to gain access to what is rightfully ours. In other words, if you want to belong to a religious organization, sometime in the future you will have this. My understanding of Scripture is once I became a citizen, I have these things. I don't have to wait. I just need to learn how to use what He's given to me to access those things so that I can continue to win people to Jesus Christ and live a life that is conducive to me being an heir of the king. Amen? That's really what it's about. That doesn't mean my life isn't fraught with drama. That doesn't mean my life doesn't have ups and downs. What it means is I've learned how to overcome certain things that are going in my life so that I can bring glory to my king and be an example to those people who are in darkness to come to his light, not my light. Governments exercise jurisdiction over their citizens. In other words, if I go to a foreign land, if I go to Haiti, or I go to Mexico, or I go to Colombia, France, or whatever, that government that represents those people of that nation does not have jurisdiction over me. But they can throw me in jail for breaking their laws, behaving unbecoming what they expect their citizens. What happens to an individual when they're thrown in jail in a foreign land? Is there any means in which they can get someone to help them? They have an embassy. And what happens is your one phone call goes to the embassy and say, I'm Gary Stiles. I'm thrown in jail because I did such and such, or I didn't do such and such. I need help. That's what the Church of Jesus Christ is about. This is an embassy from a foreign land. And those who are in need of help come to the embassy, who are citizens, who understand their rights and privileges as citizens, and they come and they say, look, I need help. And that embassy will assist as best as they possibly can to meet the needs of their citizens, not the needs of the citizens of that nation. That's the other government's responsibility, right? Then why are we looking to the government of the United States for help? Who are we citizens of? Touching people's hearts. I sense it. I sense the Holy Spirit. You see, we got this messed up. We got it really messed up. We're forgetting who we are because the world's indoctrinating us. We need to be indoctrinated by what the King says and by what He wants us to do. The way we act and the way we live is totally 180 degrees out of sync to what the world is. And yet, we expect our needs to be met by God in those emergencies. And God is saying, I don't know you. It isn't about the amount of prayer that you can throw up. You can throw up as much as you want. But when the rubber meets the road, what government are you representing? God is not schizophrenic. We are. We are in the world. We are not of the world. We need to stop conducting ourselves as though we are. Grunting. Acting like a two-year-old. In an activity that's meant to have fun and draw people. It's shameless. But that's not Kevin's fault. He doesn't know any better. He hasn't been taught. And the citizens of the kingdom of heaven aren't taught because they don't value what God has given to them. So why should they care? I'm going to heaven. You think? My Bible says make your election sure. Are you sure you're going to heaven? Just because you received Jesus Christ is no assurance because it's predicated on our faith and obedience to what He tells us, not because I'm the king's kid. Hey, check me out. That's why we need to be involved with everything. That's why we need to assimilate, to understand what God is saying. We're schizophrenic because we have a dual citizenship. And our dual citizenship puts the world citizenship before the kingdom citizenship. And because of that, this generation doesn't care. Doesn't care that they had the greatest honor. You had the greatest honor. And that is to welcome in the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings to take us home. The problem is, are you going to be there when He comes? You see, another reason for an embassy is that when all hell breaks loose in a war zone, those citizens are withdrawn before the end comes. Is that not true? Our Bible tells us that before the ultimate war comes, Jesus Christ is calling His people to the embassy, and we're out of here if you are His citizen. Or are you going to get caught up with those who are destined for destruction? You look at what happened to Lot. What happened to Lot? Did he get caught up with all the vileness and perversion of the society that he was living in? My Bible tells me that his soul was so vexed with the corruption that was in there, that when the homosexual community became radical, they wanted to know the angels. They didn't care about the women. They wanted to know the angels. And the angels blinded every homosexual and told Lot to leave the country. It's an example to us that God knows who His people are. He knows what we're made of. He knows what He wants to keep us from. His government is in the world. It is not of this world. We are His people. We are in the world. We are not of the world. And the junk that you've been feeding on and living upon should no longer be part of your diet. You disgrace the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I disgrace Him by conducting myself contrary to what He expects His citizens, who are kings and priests, a holy nation, live like. Our primary allegiance should always be to the kingdom of heaven. That's why I say to you guys, what's God saying?
Oh, I don't know. Oh, I don't know, Pastor.
Why? Because you don't even treat His word right. You don't value that people through the centuries have died to write these things down for our benefit. Because you don't care. You don't care enough to want to be better than what this world offers. You don't care enough to get out of your sin. And understand, He cared so much that He died for us to make us His citizens. And we cheapen His death because of it. Citizenship. Luke 13, 20 through 21 says, and again he asked, what shall I compare the kingdom of God to? It is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into a large amount of flour until it was worked all the way through the dough. We've heard the thing, it says a little leaven leavens the whole lump. A little bit of yeast works its way through. The more that you're involved with the Church of Jesus Christ, the more that you care about who you are in Jesus Christ, the more that you learn, the more you appropriate, the more power and authority you have with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the more you're able to use the right key at the right time to get that thing that you need. This thing is easy. It's not hard. We're just hard-headed and stiff-necked. The more we have the Word permeating our spirit, the more it's worked into our lives, the more sin is removed from our lives because we hate it, we abhor it. Unfortunately, this generation loves sin. It uses sin as recreation, showing you the detriment of their mental capacities because we have not done the job of loving them through their turmoil to get their wheels set straight and to move on. Are we citizens? Luke 17, 20 through 21 says, "Once having been asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied, 'The kingdom of God does not come visibly, nor will people say, here it is or there it is, because the kingdom of God is in you. The fullness of God dwells in you.'" The trick here is learning how to get God out. The person of Jesus Christ in you wants to come out of you. And the only way I know that's going to happen is if we practice the things of the kingdom. We don't want to because it requires something of us because we're selfish and lazy. But I'm telling you, we're not going to be able to use that excuse when the king comes. We're not. "Well, Pastor, I'm trying to do the best I can." Praise God. That's great. But what happens to 90% of the people in church? 5 minutes out the door, they don't even remember what was shared. How can they expect to feed their spirit on one meal a week? I challenge you. Feed your body one meal a week. Do that. Feed yourselves one time. Pick any day in the week that you're going to have this meal. Feed it one time. And see how successful you are. Your spirit needs to be fed every day. Your body doesn't. Jesus died on the cross. We receive forgiveness of sins. He made us righteous through His blood. And He gave us the keys to the kingdom of heaven, so that we can access the resources from heaven into our lives to bless others, to win them to Jesus Christ. Jesus died so that we could die to save other people. He saved us. He saved the world. We're not going to save the ecology. We're not going to save the whales. We're not going to save the insects. And we're definitely not going to save global warming. Don't get caught up with the nonsense. That is not important. Your soul and my soul and their souls is what's important. And that's all that counts in God's way of looking at things. What do we do? How can we reverse this? First of all, Matthew 6:33 tells us, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness." How many are seeking Him? How many understand what it means to seek Him? How many understand righteousness? And how many of us live for righteousness' sake? God says, "Be holy as I'm holy." His citizens, His people are holy. But we're filled with a bunch of holes. We don't want God to plug them up and make us a wholesome person found in Jesus Christ. Because we don't value. It's been 2,000 years since Jesus died. And it should be as important as if He died today. But we don't value it. And the numbers don't lie. This generation could care less. They don't even believe it's a historical fact. They think it's a fable. Why? Because we don't live it as fact. We don't set the example before them. We expect them to do what we are not willing to do ourselves, and therefore we are hypocritical. Stop pointing the finger at them. Start showing the example before them and living for the King. And watch this thing turn around. God is a God who redeems us and redeems the world. Philippians 3, 17 through 21. This will be the last scripture. Join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. For as I have often told you before and now say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Jesus Christ. Their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is to their shame. Their mind is on earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await the Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enabled Him to bring everything under His control will transform our lowly bodies so that we will be like His glorious body. That's Paul talking to us. He knew that there was people in the church that were pretending. He knew that there was people just attending. He knew that people and their sinful nature left unto themselves will revert back to what they naturally know. He knew. And he's telling us 2,000 years later that just because you come to church, just because you name the name of Jesus, just because your lifestyle is what separates you from the rest of the world. Because what you believe, you will live. And I tell you, what I see of the Church of Jesus Christ, it doesn't believe half the things because it's not living half the things. And I'm in there too. Some days I take my citizenry, my citizenship, for granted. But I listen to the Holy Spirit and I repent and I get back on board. But Pastor, you know, my mom, she does stuff. She does all this stuff. That's okay. You let the Holy Spirit bring conviction to your parents. If God's telling you to do something, then you need to do what He tells you to do. Irregardless. Well, I'm not doing it until she does it. Then you're in sin. And you separate yourself. My sister, you know, she keeps acting this way and all this other stuff. You know, what am I supposed to do? Love her. Love her through it. Give her the Word of God. Tell her, you know, God loves her. God expects this of you. You don't need to be a degenerate in a life. You can be far more. God has a plan that's so far above. Stop living in the sewers. Stop keeping your minds in the sewers. Oh, Pastor, you know, I got this problem. I go on the internet and I watch porn on it all the time. You need to throw your computer out. You need to separate yourself from stuff and you need to get accountable to men of God who abhor the things that the wicked one puts in there. And that goes for you women too. Some of you are on the internet looking at stuff that you shouldn't even be looking at. Sinful. It's vulgar. And it's shameful. And Paul says, it'll be to your destruction. Are you a citizen of the kingdom of God? That's the question. Am I a citizen of the kingdom of God? I can only be like that beggar that stood on the corner, couldn't look up to God and just, God, I'm a sinner. Be merciful to me. We have drama in our lives because we don't want to do what God requires of us. And we try to cover it over, thinking that it'll be okay. But we know that sin is like seed. We throw it in the ground, and when it comes up, and when it's exposed, and it bears fruit, that fruit is death. The only way I know to eliminate that seed is first not get involved in it any longer. Repent of it and get out of it. Second of all, cut down the tree. The only way to cut it down is get your sin under the blood. That doesn't mean that you won't suffer the consequences of your stupidity or my stupidity. But it will minimize the effect of it. And third of all, get involved. Get involved. You need to know. You need to know what the king expects of us. You need to know how to behave properly. You need to know how to live your lives in a way that brings glory to him, and in your lives become an envy of those in the world. We may not have much in our lives, but as long as we have peace, love, and joy and the Holy Spirit, we've got everything. Because everything we need is found in him, and only through him can we access it. Jesus Christ has given us so much, and we don't value it. We don't value it. And it's to our shame. Amen? Father, I just praise you. I thank you for your goodness and your mercy to us, Lord. God, forgive us for trivializing what you have given to us that is so precious. Forgive us of our ignorance, God, and not seeing, not understanding, Lord, and not appropriating the importance or value that what you've given to us. Forgive us of our slothfulness, God. Forgive us of our ineptness and incompetence. And help stimulate our hearts, God, this day. Help us to cultivate those things, God, that would bring true growth in our spirits. It's not that we're not to be concerned for the things of the world, God. We're to be stewards of everything that you've given to us. But God, we need to set our priorities right first. God, I pray for streams. I pray for your church worldwide, God, that you would pour out your blood upon us. That you would cause a spirit of indifference, God, to be eradicated from our midst. That we would cherish being citizens of a heavenly kingdom. Jesus, I ask that you forgive me, that I've not been a better example to your people. I ask that you enlighten me even more in your marvelous light and in your awesome wisdom, that I may convey and live before your people, God, in true holiness and righteousness, that I may be a dispenser of grace and mercy, that I may be one, God, to operate in love. God, break our hearts. Break all the cheap, stony facades that we have. Break us down, Lord, that we want to be known by you and to know you, God. Not be indifferent to you and what you want to do. So, Father, I release your Holy Spirit to continue to work in our hearts and bring an end to our petty, selfish estate and begin to look and work towards the goals that you have set for us. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.